Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Stand Up and Marvel. In honor of Pride Month, we are talking about the influence of the LGBTQIA+ community on the MCU. Quick spoiler warning, we're talking about a lot of MCU stuff today, so there may be some unintentional spoilers. But anyway, without further ado, let's get into it. All right, so to start off, I want to talk about why this topic is so important. Not only talking about the LGBTQIA+, that's the official latest acronym as far as I understand it. For the sake of time, I'm just going to call it LGBTQ for the remainder of the episode. Yeah, I'm just going to call it LGBTQ for the rest of this episode, but I think that is the official acronym. Yeah, it's LGBTQIA+, last I saw. But anyway, so why is that topic so important? Additionally, like, why is it so important when we're talking about the MCU? To go into that, so I looked up some statistics, which I think are really kind of eye-opening. So first of all, what is the percentage of LGBTQ members in the United States? It's 7%. I don't know if everybody knew that, but that's a pretty large number. That is not something that you can just ignore. You know, it's a very significant portion of our population. And then the number of countries that have legalized same-sex marriage, 30, which is, you know, that's, I would like it to be higher. I actually looked it up. There's currently 195 countries in the world. So that's not as high as I would like it, but you know, it's progress. And then a statistic that is a little scary, which is another reason this is so important to talk about, because, well, anyway, the number of countries that have criminalized homosexuality is 71, which is terrible. You know, that's an awful thing. That's something that, yeah, that absolutely needs to be changed in this world. And that's, again, why this is such an important topic to talk about, because this is a lot of people that are affected by this. And, you know, it's not okay to criminalize something like that. And then, yeah, I mean, I guess those are pretty much the most important statistics that I found. I have more that I could go into, but that kind of gives you an idea. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are in this community, and it's really unfair about how a lot of people in that community are treated, not only in this country, but in this world, and especially in certain countries. And it's just appalling, frankly. So anyway, that's at least to me why this is such an important topic. And as far as why we're talking about it with MCU, I mean, obviously this is a Marvel podcast, so we want to talk about everything as it relates to the MCU, but specifically why that with the MCU. The MCU is, you know, very big. It reaches a lot of people. So if, you know, if Marvel, the MCU can include this group, the LGBTQ community, in their movies and their shows, then, you know, hopefully it will expand and it will allow that community to be more accepted worldwide, because these movies reach everywhere across the globe. So that's at least my thought on the topic. I don't know if anybody else had anything they wanted to add to that, but that's just how I kind of wanted to start the conversation.
The only thing I've had is, you know, my research and stuff. It's Disney, and Disney wants to make as much money as they can from their movies, and they're very aware of where they can show these movies, what markets they can show these movies in. And, you know, that's a huge reason why they have been very slow to introduce characters in the movies, because they cannot, you know, send this movie to certain countries where they have to cut scenes out if anything is even slightly considered, any country that might consider it, you know, that if they're homophobic, they will not send it at all. So, I mean, that's what you're fighting, not only just stigma in general, but the fact that Disney, it's a bottom line. I mean, they want to make as much money as they can. They don't want to anger, you know, certain countries. So, you know, that's something we have to keep in mind. They make these little very small inroads into bringing, I read one article that says there are 6 legitimate LGBT, you know, characters, 6. You know, you say 7% of the population, you know, and then they have 6 characters. There's more that we did talk about tonight, but that's pretty sad.
Yeah, and that's definitely something we'll get into later.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
It is a disappointingly small number. And from what I recall, the very first LGBTQ character that was introduced in the MCU was from Endgame, which was the final movie of the first saga, which is, you know, not okay. That was way too long to wait for that to actually happen. So, although technically Valkyrie was introduced before
she's that, not official though, Callum.
Well, she is going to be in Thor Love and Thunder. That's been made official.
Right.
It wasn't known at the time. So it was no...
if you're going to talk about being characters that are going to become official, I heard that in the Eternals that they're going to have the first officially gay superhero in the MCU.
Well, Eternals already came out, and that was official. That did happen. I'm struggling.
And Patrick, what was that again? Who was in the Eternals?
I wrote it down. I've got to hear something.
Was it Valkyrie? Was that
Phantos?
Faustos,
and his husband Ben.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's what they said for the Eternals. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a true gay couple. He has a husband. You know, and that's already out, right? Is that?
Yeah, that came out
last year. Yeah, the things I watched on YouTube are old and I...
No, it's all good. You're good.
In a while.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, so Faustus was in the Eternals, and then we had Loki, which was a series that came out last year. So Loki's bisexual, I think, is the official designation.
Yeah, I was watching the video and it said that, like, you know, when they were having a conversation about princesses, that he not only was having, and then she insinuated that it was not only princesses but princes too, and then he clarified that fact by saying yes sometimes. So he admitted that he sometimes has relations with men or women.
Yeah, it's a very interesting
character. I think he was having that conversation with Sylvie, and she was saying also that she'd been with princes and princesses.
So. Yeah, because I mean, Loki's a shape changer. You know, he changes his identity all the time. So
it's interesting that you bring that up, because I have was looking at Mystique, and they're saying that they're gonna introduce her as a bisexual character.
I hadn't heard that. That's not surprising.
That in the comics that she was with Destiny, which is a character apparently. Mm-hmm. Then I guess Mystique is had a relationship with in the comic books. So they may bring that to light as well, because she's also a shapeshifter. And I think with being a shapeshifter, that, you know, kind of has to do with, like, you know, being androgynous, being a male or a female, that you have to be able to play both roles. So I think that also could, you know.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense with her. She's a, you know, very covert type character. She's all about, you know, infiltrating and just impersonating other people. So yeah, she really needs to fully understand both genders to be able to do the part right. So it makes a lot of sense that they would introduce her that way.
That does make a lot of sense for Mystique and for Loki too, because Loki is actually the god of mischief. So it doesn't it just makes sense to his character traits. Is just like the god of mischief, he'll get into whatever he can. So
I like when you use the word androgynous, Patrick. I mean, that makes sense, that would be the easiest way with a shapeshifter who can, you know,
go between. Are you a man? Are you a woman?
Man, woman, you know, whatever.
And I mean, being that character, knowing that you can be whatever you want, it's kind of like you can be whatever you want. So, and when it comes to sexuality, you can kind of choose whatever sexuality you want to be as well. I mean, you could maybe be a straight woman or a gay woman or a gay man or a straight man. You know, you could choose to be either, whether you're shape-shifting or not, I guess. You can do whatever you want. That's kind of like the whole thing. I guess that also appeals to people that are pansexual as well. Mm-hmm. You know, people that don't really choose a sexual orientation. They just kind of choose whoever they want, which I think is also pretty androgynous as well.
Well, they say that Deadpool is pansexual. I don't know if that's officially confirmed or not.
Yeah, they said that they were gonna,
I'm not sure if it's official.
That they may have a Deadpool actually have a boyfriend in the third movie. That they may say he has a boyfriend because they said okay. The director.
They
said
also
that
they also said he flirts not, with Superman.
Well, he wouldn't flirt with Superman. He's DC, but
I know.
But yeah, it's it would be very Deadpool-esque for sure. So. I mean,
there was a lot of very, very homoerotic scenes in that movie.
Yes.
And then also in interviews with Ryan Reynolds, he talks about how Deadpool doesn't really care about what sexual orientation he is, that, you know, he can be straight one day and then in 3 days he doesn't know what he is. He doesn't really care. Mm-hmm. He just is having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about Deadpool is Deadpool's character is completely unpredictable at all times. I mean, there is a villain in the Marvel Universe. I forget his name, Colin. Can you help me out who he is? He's like supposed to know every move that you will make before you even make it.
There's a lot of villains that are like that.
Yeah, I forget what his name is. It's not on the top of my head right now. But Deadpool was so unpredictable that this guy couldn't predict what Deadpool was about to do. Like, that's just how, and that's how he defeated him. It was just the funniest thing I've ever read. It was in the comic book. Like, I was just like, it's like the only person to defeat this supervillain that can predict every move you're gonna make is Deadpool because he's completely unpredictable.
That sounds familiar. I can't quite think of his name. Yeah.
Keeping with Deadpool, I had a sticky note here about Deadpool 3. That there's somebody called Megasonic
Teenage Warhead
something Warhead
and Teenage Yukio. Warhead, yeah.
And they say they're the first lesbian couple in the multi-universe, and yeah, they've been seen holding hands and saying that they're a couple.
Yeah, so that's not,
I mean,
MCU,
I guess when you,
so,
when I said
Megasonic something,
Megasonic Teenage Warhead, it's not MCU. So that's why Endgame is still like the first official.
Is that the girl from the first Deadpool movie? I mean, she's the one that like can make things explode, right? She's a lesbian.
Yes. But I guess then
officially she would be the first really out character then. I mean, she played the role and she played it as a lesbian.
Yeah.
Right, except
I was just saying, X-Men, she's not movie. MCU. Because the Marvel movies, there are some Marvel movies that aren't part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's hard to keep track of, but yeah, Deadpool is not part of it yet.
When I look it up, they mix them all up, especially with Disney now being involved.
But
it makes it very confusing.
Is Deadpool going to be folded into it?
Yes.
Is it one of those ones?
Yeah, okay. I don't think the first two Deadpool movies will ever be considered MCU. They'll be considered like canon, but they won't be considered like, you know, MCU as far as like considering that to be the first like openly gay character in an MCU film, you know, so it'll never really be counted that way, but the story will be considered canon to the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I know it's super clear, but
Explain to Patrick and myself what canon means versus part of the universe.
So canon means that it's part of the official story. That's all it really means. So like right now, all the events that have happened in Deadpool, those didn't happen as part of like the entire universe where like Iron Man and Incredible Hulk and Thor, like all those events that took place, they're in a completely different universe. Like universe as in like Marvel versus DC, like that kind of universe. And I make that clarification because right now we're in the multiverse with Marvel. So there's all sorts of different universes there. So it's all like super clear, I'm sure. But we're actually going to be making some episodes at some point to try to clear some of this stuff up, just to talk about like the timeline and everything. And I think that's actually a really good idea. We'll also talk about like what's MCU canon versus what is not, stuff like that, because it's very confusing. But yeah, so hopefully.
Well, I wanted to go back to something, to what they said were the newest ones. The latest Doctor Strange movie, they said that there were going to be three characters in this movie. Two of them don't talk at all in the movie. And one of them never says, comes out and says what their sexuality is. So they said that was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, a lot of people, they said it was, what was it, gay baiting? That they were gay baiting people to want to like the movie. And then when it wasn't portrayed in the film, that a lot of LGBT people were very upset when they were expecting to have these characters and then they didn't have them. And then the person who said that created them said that it was just the truth of the characters that they wanted to have come out, but that they didn't necessarily want them to have that be the main focus on the characters. But they definitely did kind of sound like they were a little bit shady, like they didn't, you know, include that as part of it when they advertised that to be.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. So I think one of those characters was America Chavez. I don't know if that sounds.
Oh no, that right. She's a whole different topic. They talk a lot about her. So I'm not sure who the two are in the top, but right. America Chavez, she's like, she wore a pride pin. She said, love is love was the French translation, you know, which obviously.
Yeah, the one scene where she actually admit she was bisexual, they cut the scene completely.
That's not great.
She talks about having two moms, which they're gonna have to cut that. They cut that scene entirely. I think that's what you're talking about, Patrick, because that won't play.
Well, they did show her like family at one scene, like her two female adult figures.
But I'm just saying, Colin, when they show that in.
No, they addressed them as her moms.
Was it her moms?
Yeah, they're gonna cut that when they show it in other countries.
If they show it in those other countries, they'll probably cut it. But they did address him as her mom's because after Doctor Strange saw the vision, he said, I'm sure you'll find your mom's again.
Okay.
The multiverse.
She had a pride pin on.
Yeah.
You know?
So she was
a definite.
You know. So they did, you know, state it. They just didn't spend a lot of time on it. Just a very,
touched the subject and then they moved on.
And what is her character? Is she Ms. Marvel?
America Chavez.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she has the power to. America Chavez is her name. So she has the power to move between dimensions, essentially.
Yeah. So she can open portals to be through the multiverse, and travel it freely at will.
She's probably the most unique character we've gotten so far, in my opinion, just because she is the only character that doesn't have other versions of her in other universes. So she is the one and only America.
She's a one of a kind.
Well, didn't they say that she can go into different realities? Like that's one of her powers.
Talking about other dimensions.
Yeah, so when she travels to the multiverse and she's like, she's talking about how she met like over 19 different Doctor Stranges. No other versions of herself.
There's all the Scarlet Witches out there. All the
it's kind of like Rick and Morty. Like it's always Rick, even though it's
not Rick.
Man, Rick and Morty, what a great show.
One of the best.
And the only other thing that I wanted to bring up, when I thought it was pretty bogus that they had the characters that, you know, that never spoke or that didn't really, you know, come out with their sexuality. The one in Endgame. He's credited as grieving man. I think that's terrible. He's in a therapy group and he's lost his husband. That's how they call him. You know, he's considered a gay character in the movie, but he's credited. He's called grieving man. You know.
Yeah, that's really.
They could do better than that.
Yeah, I mean they're getting better, but. I say that, and then we were just talking about how they didn't do a great job in Multiverse of Madness. I don't know. Maybe they're getting better, maybe they're not. Maybe it's just different directors, different choices, and hopefully it'll get better. So who knows? But it's better than it was at the very beginning. So hopefully it'll continue to improve.
Colin, I had a question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever heard about Gray Malkin?
I have not. Tim,
it's a character named after the street that Xavier's school is on. He is, so is a he an 200. X-Men? What?
Is that Professor Xavier?
Professor
Xavier, yeah.
The school for gifted students, yeah.
So apparently he's named after the street, Gray Malkin, and he's a 200-year-old mutant, and he was messing around with another boy and his father beat him to death, and when he was in the ground, apparently he reincarnated himself, and that's what was his mutant powers. And I heard about that, and I didn't know if you had known anything about that, Colin.
No, I haven't heard of them. There's not a lot of characters that have a power like that. I mean, I guess Phoenix kind of,
his ability to actually just reincarnate is actually pretty, that's a pretty interesting power to have.
Yeah.
It's also really interesting that he's named after the street that the school is on.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I actually heard about this manga, which is like comic books basically, where everybody in the comic has the ability to resurrect, but they present it in like a really interesting way. Like there are certain rules that govern like how they resurrect. Like for example, when you resurrect, your body like goes to where like the largest piece of your body is and just reforms, and that's where you are. So this one guy like mailed a part of himself to like his nemesis or whatever, and then and ended himself, and then he reappeared like inside their like headquarters and was able to like take them out that way. Just like all these are like really interesting ways of like abusing the rules of their powers, but it sounded really cool. But yeah, so I mean, that is a very cool power. I don't know how exactly his version of the resurrection ability works, but.
How did that dude's nemesis not see that coming? Like the moment he opens up the package and it's just like, oh no.
Boom, I'm here.
Yeah, peekaboo.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded really interesting. I don't remember the name of that one, unfortunately, but pretty cool.
Okay, I read a few other characters, Wiccan and Speed.
So those aren't part of the MCU. Those are from the comics, I assume.
I know, but I guess, a fair number. It's the backstory of some of these people. I mean, some
right.
And you never know, they may make it into the MCU too.
Right, they make them in, and we don't know if they're actually going to stay part of the LGBTQ community, or if they're going to change them to be straight. Who knows? Because they're not always consistent with the comics. One example of the other way around, straight character that is becoming gay potentially, Captain Marvel. It's not official.
But Colin, it's so interesting. Whenever I would Google this, she never came up. And I thought she was a really obvious one. But no,
yeah,
there were
movie,
like maybe 10 different
signs.
Articles. Not one of them mentioned her.
Yeah, it's because it's not official yet. Like,
there's a lot of stuff we're saying tonight that's not official. So I'm sort of surprised that nobody talked about it.
No, people definitely talk about it. I've found stuff on it about where people
in
are pointing
Endgame,
out all these things
that happened. When she showed up with her pixie cut, that was like the number one topic of what is going on with Captain Marvel.
It's not only that, but also the actress has expressed an interest in her character coming out. Like
Valkyrie, you know, the actress that plays Valkyrie, you know, would like her to be bisexual, but they haven't gone there yet. They say they might like to step with the next Thor movie. She might have a girlfriend, but it's when the actress starts.
I saw an article
the
where the actress
have, confirmed. Probably go like, wait a minute, keep your mouth shut. You know, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
I was just going to say, I saw an article where the actress that plays Valkyrie did say that she definitively is going to have a gay relationship in Thor Love and Thunder. She didn't say who it was with, but she said it was happening. So question is, will it be cut? Is she telling the truth? You know, we'll see. But it seems like it is going to happen.
Okay, and again, I don't know if these are canon or background or whatever, but Moondragon came up.
That's comics
Hey, Colin. Well, this is something that they North actually Star. Did talk about the putting into the movies. Hercules. Have you heard about anything about the Hercules being in the next either Eternals or I'm not exactly
I sure. I haven't, but it would make a lot of sense if he made an appearance in Thor: Love and Thunder. Because Zeus,
I was gonna say
Thor: Love and Thunder would be the best place for him to appear.
Yeah,
because absolutely. Hercules is supposed to be considered a bisexual character.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
That they are actually going to cast a gay actor to play Hercules in the film.
That's great. Did they say what film where you read that?
Was it Thor: Love and Thunder? It was the one that you guys were talking about. Thor: Love and Thunder.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the film. Because it is a movie that they're talking about making. Sorry, I'm not familiar with the names, but I am familiar.
That's actually coming out in 2.5 weeks.
Chris Peterson or something. What's his name? Who plays Thor?
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh yeah. Chris Hemsworth is the guy. So yeah, it would be that movie. So, but yeah, they were talking about Hercules.
Well, he's a god of lightning, so it makes sense you'd have another god like Hercules, you know?
So,
that'd be the time to do it.
And they're actually going to be on Olympus, which is where Hercules' dad is from. I guess it depends on where we're jumping into Hercules', you know, life. Because, like, later on in life, I think he eventually did go to Olympus. But
he had to complete his tasks that were given to him by the gods before he can join Mount Olympus, which he actually eventually did. But yeah, the fact that his character would be bisexual is actually quite understanding, because Hercules comes from Greek mythology, and back in the ancient times, the Greeks were a lot of men in Greek culture back in the day were bisexual, you know.
Yeah, I mean, could've even gone, Julius Caesar was
yeah,
you would, back in Roman days, you could be married to a man and to a woman, and if you were married to a man, you were either considered the woman in the relationship or the man in the relationship. And I find it to be very interesting that all these historical people from Rome in those times actually had a lot of bisexuality going on, where they would even marry
as well as the Greek gods,
both sexes.
Yeah
So here's looking towards seeing Hercules show up in Thor: Love and Thunder.
That's a surprise to me. I mean I guess I didn't know it was happening, but it makes sense because they're gonna be on Olympus
with Russell Crowe.
Also, they're gonna be on Mount Olympus, so then that definitely they're gonna have to throw in something.
Well, they're gonna have Zeus
there, right?
They're gonna have Zeus.
They have Zeus. Yeah, they have Zeus there. So it would be interesting to see, even as a cameo or something like that, for Hercules to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd
be so much fun to see who they would pick to do that.
Yeah, I love Thor. They said they want to pick a gay actor, so interesting which gay actor they would choose. Because there's not, I mean, there are a handful of gay actors, but to be a gay actor to play a superhero would be an interesting one. Because Hercules obviously is a very buff guy, so they'd have to find someone like The Rock or something to play him.
Yeah, I mean, my mind goes to Schwarzenegger. He's the original. I guess not the original, but that was his debut film.
The Rock is advertising for a DC character right now. I saw that. Well, The Rock actually at the movies.
Black Adam.
Yeah, Black Adam.
Yeah, Black Adam.
That's DC. But The Rock actually did make a Hercules movie, and it didn't do well in the box office.
So did Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he has a good sense of humor. He would play well against Thor, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? I could see him playing, because he's done like that Tooth Fairy movie. I could see him playing a gay role.
Sure.
But I do think they're going to probably try to find someone, you know, a gay actor. I mean,
yeah.
That'd be great.
Like, I mean, it's like when they choose like a woman to play a transgender role, it's just in a lot of these movies where there are someone in the LGBT community, it's people get very upset when they don't choose an actress or an actor, you know, to play those roles.
Right. Well, Valkyrie is played Tessa Thompson. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is
bisexual.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She really wants that to be part of her character because she says it makes her play the role better. It makes her role like fit better for her.
Yeah,
makes sense. Not only along those lines, but like if you think of movies where like the actor and actress, like the main actor and actress that end up dating in the movie that also dated in real life, like there's so much better on-screen chemistry between them. Like the Amazing Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies, like you could just tell that he and Emma Thompson were a thing. Like I didn't even know it. When I was watching it the first time, and I looked it up, and they did in fact date during the movie, so you know it really made for a much better movie. They really, you know, connected on a better level because of that. So yeah, so that would definitely work out a lot better. I agree.
Do you have anybody else in your research, Patrick, that you wanted to mention?
Well, I know it's not in the MCU universe, but it is something that I've always thought of, and it is actually something that it's kind of interesting that I found out about Batman, that in the 1950s, they tried to introduce a character called Batwoman that would counteract the rumors that Batman was gay with Robin. She was brought on as a love interest, and she is actually a lesbian herself. And I thought that was a very interesting thing when I was looking through my LGBT.
It didn't go over well. We never what happened to Batwoman.
Well, it didn't. It's not that it didn't go over well. Only certain people understood it. It was kind of like a message that, you know, only certain people would understand back in those times.
Oh, the 1950s. Yeah, that's pretty.
So it was a lot of innuendos and stuff like that. But it was because people were like, oh, Batman and Robin are, you know, too close and it's a little weird. And so they brought Batwoman on. And then when that didn't really work out, they kind of made it look like Batwoman was a lesbian. So it looked like even in the 50s, at the beginning of, you know, comic books, that they were, you know, having characters that were having, you know, identity crises, I guess you could call them.
Sure.
Well, I think comic books were ahead. I mean, they were ahead of the cinema. So you see that with the Marvel characters too, the characters in the comic books.
And also it makes a lot of sense that someone that is LGBT would become a superhero because they have to hide a lot of things. And so does the superhero. And you know, the more things you hide, the harder it is, you know, to come to your own truth. So I feel like that's why, like, you know, people like Batman kind of never really get out of that darkness. You know.
Yeah, I've heard the X-Men resonate with a lot of people in the LGBTQ community for that same reason, because you know, they're shunned and they're, you know, not really accepted in society, and they have to hide who they are all the time, being mutants.
Yeah. Right. So, I heard that X3, even though it wasn't the best of the X-Men franchise, but that it resonated a lot with the LGBTQ community, with the cure, forcing this thing on people who don't want it. And it's just like, it's like trying to change somebody because you're afraid of who they are and everything like that. And I was just like, when I read that article, I was just like, wow, I didn't even put two and two together with that. But I was just like,
that makes a
but
lot
I,
of sense.
I was really proud of the fact that they went there with that. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man.
That does make me appreciate that movie a little bit more. I still hate it, but that's honestly probably my favorite part of the movie now that you mentioned
that. But yeah, so I mean, I just think there's, even though they're making small strides, it's still when you can identify these little nods to, you know, being prideful of everything, it's just, it's good to see. I mean,
absolutely,
especially moving forward. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it's still not accepted around the world. It really is. I mean, like, Buzz Light, the new Buzz Lightyear movie was just pulled from like 20 different countries recently, like before it even hits theaters. Or I think it did it come out yet? I'm not sure if it came out.
Yeah, it's out now.
It's out. Yeah, it got pulled from like 20 different countries around the world. And it's just like, wow.
Wow.
You know, the ignorance is still there, but it's unfortunate, but you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting that like that in those countries that people will still get a hold of these films, but they will be prosecuted some places even for death for even having these films.
Yeah. But I think that's why it's so important to have these characters, these LGBTQ characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because Marvel is really like they're really
opening the doors.
Yeah, they're really at the front lines here.
Giving
like even kids nowadays like heroes. They're giving them their own heroes. Yeah, they're giving them their own heroes.
Someone you can identify with.
And you know,
and make you somebody feel like, I'm accepted. This makes me feel that's my superpower.
Right. And the fact that they're giving them their own heroes to look up to should empower them not to be afraid, you know?
Yeah, it's like Lady Gaga born this way, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we're all the same.
Yeah. So here's hoping that with Marvel increasing their characters as part of the LGBTQ community, that it just starts a trend that's hopefully and eventually changes the world.
That's open.
Yeah,
like Ellen coming out on her sitcom, you know, mm-hmm. It was a very, very difficult thing, but she opened up doors for so many other people to come out.
All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit about Marvel and Disney and Stan Lee's stance on the LGBTQ community. So I wanted to read a snippet from an essay that Stan Lee wrote back in 1968. So this wasn't directly related to the LGBTQ community, but it is related. So. Let's say it right on the line, bigotry and racism are among the deadliest social ills plaguing the world today. But unlike a team of costumed supervillains, they can't be halted with a punch in the snoot or a zap from a ray gun. The only way to destroy them is to expose them, to reveal them for the insidious evils they really are. The bigot is an unreasoning hater, one who hates blindly, fanatically, indiscriminately. If his hang-up is black men, he hates all black men. If a redhead once offended him, he hates all redheads. If some foreigner beat him to a job, he's down to all foreigners. He hates people he's never seen, people he's never known, with equal intensity, with equal venom. Now, we're not trying to say it's unreasonable for one human being to bug another, but although anyone has the right to dislike another individual, it's totally irrational, patently insane to condemn an entire race, to despise an entire nation, to vilify an entire religion. Sooner or later, we must learn to judge each other on our own merits. Sooner or later, if man is ever to be worthy of his destiny, we must fill our hearts with tolerance.
Huh.
So, Stan Lee wrote that back in 1968. Very
passionate.
Impactful.
And very ahead of his time too. I mean, to think like that and also to speak out. I mean, I know that was a time when a lot of people were rioting and protesting, but to have his stance to be like that, it's not only ahead of its time, but it's also like seeing both sides and thinking so rationally and thinking so like just peaceful, you know? It's very powerful the way he spoke in that.
Absolutely. So there's another quote from him. You can read this as well. Fall kids of all types can identify with our heroes. It's the most gratifying thing I can think of. A lot of people are just too narrow-minded and a little bit bigoted. There are a lot of people who feel that if somebody is not just like me, he's a bad guy. I could see the day come when all the people with black hair hate the blondes, or all tall people hate the short ones. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's as though some people feel you just have to hate anyone who is different than you. And if my books and my stories can change that, can make people realize that everybody should be equal and treated that way, then I think it would be a better world. So
that was back in the reason why we have war right there. I mean,
that was back in 2016, I think. So it was more recent, but it's never changed his attitude. So
yeah, those are the reasons why we have war. It's just because we don't accept people because they have different ideas on life. I mean, someone's skin's different. It's all just because we're not comfortable with someone being different.
Yep, absolutely. So I did read something that, I don't have this direct quote in front of me, so I might be paraphrasing wrong here, but there was a little bit of outrage from the LGBTQ community of the lack of gay characters that Stan Lee had created. And he was claiming that he had just never considered it. You know, take it for what you will. I don't know if that's true or not. He was heavily religious, and obviously religion is a big part of
it. And also at the same time, that at the forefront of the comic industry, I'm guessing it's kind of like how someone in, a certain genre of music wouldn't listen to another type of music. It's just kind of things that don't mix, maybe.
Mm.
In that time, people didn't want to think about, because back in the 50s, they were very, very homophobic. And it would probably, if anyone, it's like how in people in the different countries, we were very much like those countries when we were in the 1950s. We didn't, we couldn't even show a toilet on television. So, for even America, we have come a long way, but we still have a long way to go.
Very fair. I heard Stan Lee was like, he's considered a visionary, and that when asked why he never created a openly gay superhero, and he said he just never thought about it. There was also a follow-up that, that he may have been at the time thinking, the world is not ready for something like this, when he was creating all those characters back in the 1950s and the 1960s, the world wasn't ready to accept them. And if he was going to make an impact, you have to make choices, And I think he kind of thought it through, where like now that the comic books and even now the cinematic universe is in existence, now they have the pull, now that they have the influence to talk about this subject and make a real big impact. I think at the time, if he was to do it back when, just starting out,
it could have ruined his business.
Yeah, Marvel probably wouldn't be what it is today.
Exactly. So, I mean, and a lot of, and it's the same, I feel like, with, DC anything that was homosexual at all, was considered evil. I mean, people would protest, outside of Stan Lee's office if he was to come out with something like that in like the 60s or something like that. Mothers saying that they're trying to train our children gay, or something like that, or they're trying to influence our children. I mean, like how when John Lennon said, we're bigger than Jesus, they all burned the Beatles albums. I mean, it's a very, very, very scary place to be in at that time.
You're right, Tim, because I think if early in Stan Lee's career, doors would have been shut. And, now there's the power of how popular this franchise is.
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly, be a little more courageous in your choices now, because it is a huge franchise.
Right. And, yeah, and like touching on what Patrick said earlier about the whole DC introducing Batwoman into the mix. I think it was because of the whole speculation between Batman and Robin and their relationship that sales were starting to go down, disinterest started spreading because, again, parents were starting to question this. And so they were like, how do we diffuse this? We'll bring in Batwoman. And she will disprove all the rumors that are going around. And then it just ends up, you know, being what it is. And so, you know, when they get into
the, as they call them.
Yeah. And it's just, and it's unfortunate. And then later on down the, and then again, DC could have been like, hey, you know, this is not some, apparently this is not something we can address now, but maybe down the road we can address it when it's more accepted in the world. And it's unfortunate that it had to happen that way, but I think it was for the better, because again, as they grow, both DC, Marvel, all these different companies, you know, as they grow, they have more influence on the world, and you know, it's more, they can make a more bigger impact.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, saying that the MCU is big, you know, can't really understate that. So in the, I think it was 2021, they made up 30% of the total US box office.
Yeah, they did.
So among all movies in the US, they got 30% of the box office revenue, which is insane. So yeah, they're definitely in a position to make a significant impact on the world. And
yeah, I really think that the whole idea of people that have mutant powers, or not necessarily mutant powers, but just powers that are like, you know, we hear about growing up, like telekinesis or things that we can do. And, you know, people are really, really interested in that thing, in those things. And I think that in just the mysteriousness of the human brain and what we're capable of doing, you know, really fascinates us to fantasize about all the different things that we could do if these things we could tap into somehow, you know, whether they're theories or they're just fiction or facts, who knows? But, you know, it would be interesting if someone could do some of the things that these people do in the comic books.
It would definitely change the world. All right, so wanted to talk a little bit about other impacts the LGBTQ community has had on the MCU. But I guess not necessarily the MCU specifically, but just, you know, Hollywood. So like the art style, music, costume design, things like that, that's been heavily impacted by the community over the years. I mean, music, think, you know, Queen, Elton John. I'm not a music buff, so that's really all I got in that department. I'm sure there's many, many more.
David Bowie.
David Bowie. And obviously, you know, those are the ones we just named. They're very, very popular. They've been featured in many movies. I'm not certain how many of their songs have been in the MCU. That's why I wanted to make this more general. But I'm sure they've been in some of the MCU movies. Costume design. You know, there's a lot of gay fashion designers out there that are considered the best in the world.
All of them, pretty much.
So, you know, when you think superheroes, you think these, you know, big, awesome, you know, extravagant looking costumes. So guarantee those have been heavily impacted, if not directly designed by gay fashion designers. So, you know, they've definitely had a very big impact in a number of ways. And we were talking in a recent episode about Captain Marvel. We were just going back and talking about that movie, even though it came out a few years ago. And there was a lot of stuff. I don't remember if there was much about LGBTQ, but a lot of firsts for women in that movie. There were at least like 10 firsts. Like the first director, the first female lead. I don't remember off the top of my head, the first composer, like, to do the full score of a Marvel film.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Like, there were just, like, so many firsts for women in that movie. So, you know, women are starting to pick up. Hopefully LGBTQ will as well. But, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much all I had to talk about. But it looks like you're trying to... Okay, your audio wasn't coming through.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, I just was saying, it's not just... Women and
like, I can't hear you.
Can you try to get closer to the microphone? Having trouble hearing you.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can hear you now.
Okay, but no, I just said it was like, you know, Black characters, Asian characters, Hispanic characters. You know, I mean, these are all, you know, being introduced now in the you know, the superhero universe or whatever.
And yeah, it's like all when Black Panther came out, it was very, very big deal. I mean, in the black community, to have a black superhero, you know, in the films. And I definitely know in the BLM movement, it came out at the perfect time.
Yeah, and that was I think the first MCU movie that was nominated for Best Picture.
It was, so, and he actually won for Best Actor too. Mm-hmm. After he passed away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these characters, this is all happening. A lot's happening. And it's all good things that are happening. Mm-hmm. So we just hope we see more of these, you know, diverse characters.
Yeah. Yeah, we're heading in the right direction, slowly but surely.
I guess, like you could say, somewhere over the rainbow.
There you go.
Very true.
All right, well, that's all I had. Any final thoughts? All right, we'll hear nothing. We'll call it there. I'll be right back for a quick outro. Want to give a quick thanks to Patchkin Lee. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this really important topic.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Colin.
Really glad to have you. And to our fans, thank you all so much for joining us. We love Marvel, so we could do this all day, but for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to drop us a like, rate us, follow us, all that good stuff.
And if you didn't, drop a like anyway.
Yes. You can find us all over the web. Links for everything are in the channel description. And make sure to check out the polls on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you guys. And join us next time. We're going to be talking about episode 3 of Ms. Marvel. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all 3,000. And we hope you're all staying safe out there.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.